Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think it's year two systematically. Obviously, Aaron being the veteran that he is and is an asset there. We have new unique tools, if you will. DK is a matchup issue in one-on-one circumstances. You've already seen evidence of that. John is a guy we like to get the ball to, et cetera. I just think that it's year two of the system. We got some new tools at our disposal that have assets.
That's Mike Tomlin talking about the Steelers' red zone offense, which is one of the areas where they've been elite this year, second in the NFL, converting 87.5% of the time when they're down there into touchdowns. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette, Steelers insider, joins us now. He's brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Good morning to you, Ray. How are you today?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Outstanding.
Yep.
We are doing very well. Ray, the Steelers have scored on each of their first possessions, two touchdowns and a field goal. Aaron Rodgers also has two game-winning drives. Mike Tomlin said he's encouraged by the offense in that it's on the up and up. Do you share that same sentiment?
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, if I would have said before the season that DK Metcalf was going to score 11 touchdowns and have 750 receiving yards, would you think that's a good season, a bad season, or a so-so season?
I'll take the touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what he's on pace for. So, you know, we could sit here and complain about, you know, Jaylen Warren being the team's leading receiver, which in many ways is absurd, but they are scoring touchdowns. And that was Tomlin's point yesterday. I asked him that question about the red zone. DK is a matchup problem down there. He really is. I don't know why Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth aren't being utilized more down there, but maybe it's just the fact that they're not there enough. You know, Aaron Rodgers said last week they got to get down there four times a game. Well, they've only been down there eight times, so they're kind of behind that pace. They got to get better. They got to get more consistent, but I do think once they get down there more, this is an offense that potentially can't score more points.
Ray, what do you think about the coaching matchup in this game on Sunday? Brian Flores, Kevin O'Connell, Arthur Smith, Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin. Do you feel like the Steelers are at a disadvantage in the coaching matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Brian Flores is a guy who has evolved over the years, and Mike made a point of this yesterday. He really takes a little bit from each stop where he's been on his career. You know, obviously coached for a great coach in Bill Belichick, was on his own for a little bit in Miami, and then he spent a year in Pittsburgh before he went to the Vikings. And, you know, I think when a coach is able to evolve like that over years, I think that makes him better. You know, you're not going to be able to have a beat on him. Having said that, you know, we are a couple years removed from Brian being here. I know Mike probably knows some of his tendencies. I think maybe that's an advantage for Mike, but obviously Brian knows how the Steelers want to play, and he knows Mike as well. So in the end, it's probably going to be a wash, but he's a really talented DC, and I think it's only a matter of time, if NFL owners are open-minded, that he will be a head coach again someday soon.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's interesting you talk about Brian Flores and the things he's taken from each of his stops. Is there anything you see systematically in the Steelers' defense that you think they got from Brian Flores when he was here?
You know, not really. You know, I mean, Brian over the years, you know, he's blitzed more. You know, I think the Steelers are doing more of that this year just because of circumstances. I think once they get healthy that maybe they're going to get back to playing the way that Mike wants to play. You know, rush for and cover in the back end. I think that's his formula when they're healthy, when Joey Porter and Deshaun Elliott come back, and then you can move Jalen Ramsey around the way you envision. So I don't really sense a lot of that. I think, I don't want to say Brian was in the background here, but it wasn't like he was the DC. He was the linebackers coach who, you know, had a different type of role, but I just don't know if he was here long enough to leave that type of an imprint on Tomlin or the Steelers.
Ray, do you think we'll see even more Cole Holcomb on Sunday? Even that, you know, Peyton Wilson, I know they split basically reps. I think it was like, what, 50% and 47%. Do you think we'll see even more Cole Holcomb?
Yeah, I think especially in the base. I think he was good against the run and, you know, obviously had that big play early in the football game that, you know, gave them a leg up on the Patriots and allowed them to get control of that game early. Tomlin mentioned it yesterday. He's a downhill thumper. He's good in the run game. And unfortunately for Peyton Wilson, and they really tried, guys. I mean, they tried to make him a three-down player. But it just doesn't seem like he's built to be a force in the running game. And, you know, you hate to pigeonhole a guy in year two, but it seems like at this point, maybe until he can get bigger or a little bit more seasoned, that he's probably just going to be a cover linebacker in sub packages, and that's okay. In today's NFL, he's going to play half the game like he did on Sunday. But, yeah, for right now, I think Holcomb is the guy. We'll see what happens when Malik Harrison comes back. You know, Malik was brought in here to be a run defender too, so I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. But I thought for his first start in, what, 19 months or whatever it is, 20 months, I thought he did very well.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray, do you think Mike Tomlin is calling this defense a little bit more conservatively in terms of the back end coverage because of all the injuries and new guys? That's what he said. Do you think that's been the case?
Yeah, and they're still having problems lining up, which is amazing. You guys saw the fourth down to Hunter Henry. You just can't allow that. I mean, it's too easy for teams to score in those situations when you leave guys uncovered. So I do believe him. I think that is the case. But the fact that they're still not getting lined up right, to me, is on the coaches. And I just think overall they got to do a better job of coaching the defense. The five turnovers won that game for them. But like Mike said yesterday, you can't count on turnovers every single game. So, I mean, that's their culture. They've been doing it for years. They're very good at it. But at some point, they got to be able to stand up and get off the field on third and fourth down. They're among the NFL's worst teams at doing that, both on third and fourth down. They're third down defense, guys. New England converted a third and 13, a third and 10, and a third and 7. And right now, they're 28th in the NFL in third down defense. And usually, they're upper half of the league. So they got to start playing better overall. The turnovers are nice, but it's just not a sustainable formula.
Ray, in my opinion, we hadn't seen this in a very long time, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was very refreshing to see a first-round pick look like a first-round pick. How about Derek Harmon's first outing as a Pittsburgh Steeler after coming off of the injury? We haven't seen a first-round pick actually look like a first-round pick, in my opinion, in a long time.
Yeah, how about announcing your presence on your first series, getting a sack, and then, you know, he didn't have great stats, but he was noticeable throughout the game. And he played more than I thought he would, 35 snaps. They told us he was going to be on a pitch count. I suppose that's a pitch count, but that was a significant portion of that football game. So, I mean, I expect him to play even more this week. I thought Y.A. Black played fairly well when he was in there. I think you're going to see more of Equale. You know, if they can get off the field and be in base more, I think you'll see more of Equale. So they're starting to figure out where the pieces are going to be. You know, Keanu Benton's still going to play, but I think maybe he's going to split time with Equality. So they're starting to figure out where guys are going to go. Maybe the bye week is when they actually get it all figured out and they're better, in the second portion of the season. But, yeah, for right now, they just got to continue to figure out ways to win until Elliott and Porter get back. Maybe they're back this week, and that helps too. But, they certainly need their full roster to be the defense they want to be.
Right, Mike Tomlin blamed the defense not getting off the field for the lack of running game by the Steelers. Yeah. What do you think is the biggest actual issue with the running game?
Yeah, that was an interesting way to go about it. They're just not very good up front. You know, I was watching a lot of the Lions game and their offensive line against the Ravens, and I know the Ravens aren't very good on defense now. But the one thing you notice about the Detroit Lions is they secure the first level with the line of scrimmage, and then their offensive line peel off on the second level, and then they go get the linebackers. The Steelers don't do that. There was this one clip where Penny Sewell and the guard just took the defensive lineman 3 to 5 yards up the field, right into Roquan Smith's lap, and Smith, an all-pro linebacker, he's helpless in that situation. And the Steelers just don't do that well enough. There's a lot of leakage there up front, guys penetrating through, obviously not getting to the linebacker. So there's a ton of issues there. I suppose if you want to look on the bright side, Rodgers wasn't sacked against the Patriots. That's good and all. But just overall, the offensive line play hasn't been good enough through the first three games.
Ray, does Roman Wilson exist?
He exists because I think he has one catch in three games, but it just seems like they're going to ride with Metcalf and Austin, and you know everything. You know, Skoranek scored the first week, but he's probably not going to be a big part of it. Roman Wilson's probably not going to be a big part of it. I mean, they're going to be focused on the two starting wideouts, Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth. And until there's an injury, I just don't see how Roman Wilson is a big factor in this offense. Yeah, he had a nice camp and everything, but the preseason is the preseason, and for whatever reason, whether it's playing time or chemistry with Rodgers, he just doesn't seem to be a big part of things at this point.
Ray, I know you're not going to Ireland. Jason Mackey's over there standing in the town square filming videos. He also ate chicken wings in Ireland. Do you think that's a good move? I mean, that was kind of odd to me. You can get chicken wings here. Maybe go a little fish and chips.
Yeah, I mean, you're the Ireland expert. What should he be getting over there like? Hash and Guinness, right? I mean,
really, it's Guinness first, and then whatever else makes its way into you, I think you'll take as a distant second, Ray.
Yeah, I saw he did have a Guinness, so I guess I'll give him points for that.
There you go. Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette saying staying stateside for this game. Ray, appreciate your time, as always, and we will talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
See you.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Fittipaldo, great man of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Man, you asked about Peyton Wilson and seeing more Cole Holcomb, and Ray said they tried him as a every-down linebacker. He's going to have to add some weight, blah, blah, blah. Tried. Past tense. They're moving on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a bummer because you'd like to see Peyton Wilson grow into this full-time stud, but at the same time, I'm encouraged by them saying, okay, it was two games. It wasn't good. We're trying to win football games here. We've got Cole Holcomb. Let's play him.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, we got to get out of the stadium with a dub. We're not just going to stick with the young guy who we have high beliefs in just because we think he can do it, even though he hasn't shown the ability to do it. So I was encouraged by that. 412-928-9370. We'll react to some of what Ray had to say when we come back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Money for you. We love youth football. 93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit for members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@93.7thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact information, and potential dates. Details at 93.7thefan.com. Now brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. We've talked about how we don't like this matchup for the Steelers against the Minnesota Vikings. Well, this should help. Vikings rookie left guard, 24th overall pick, who had been playing well, Donovan Jackson, he suffered an injury and played through it last week. He's expected to be back on the field after the Week 7 bye, but is not going to play against the Steelers. And thus, hey, look, Cam Hayward going up against a rookie left guard. I like that matchup no matter what, but now going up against a backup left guard, I'll take that too, because that's not who they want playing. And I think Cam Hayward the last 2 weeks, the first week I didn't think he was great. Last 2 weeks he looked every bit the all-pro Cam Hayward has that we were expecting to see.
Didn't he go against a backup guard against the Jets too?
He did. He did.
I don't think that matters, but it just popped in my mind. But I think that Cam Hayward is starting to take things a little bit personal. That's kind of what I got from last week's game. He's taking things personal, and I think that you're going to get the best version of Cam Hayward moving forward. And maybe TJ Watt. I think they've had enough. Which it shouldn't take for you to take things personal to go out there and produce, but I think that they them showing up last week was a great sign of moving forward and them being, you know, highly producing for this defense, because they're going to have to every single game.
Yeah, and I think we've done a fair job and a good job of talking about all the things to be concerned about from the Steelers week to week, and absolutely after the game against the New England Patriots. But maybe the biggest sign of encouragement is, oh, TJ looked like TJ again.
Yep.
And Cam Hayward looked like Cam Hayward again.
But that's just weird to me, man. You know why? Because every time that TJ shows up or Cam shows up, now he did a lot. He did it consistently last year, Cam did. But every time it seems like that they have big games, there's one guy that's on the field. That's number 51.
I was going to bring that up.
Nick Herbig. Mm-hmm. It's just very ironic to me that every time that he is inserted into the lineup, that the defense up front plays at a high level.
Do you think it's from a pass protection standpoint from the opposition? Because I think that's a guy who is, I don't know, he's probably among the top 20, top 25 pass rushers in the NFL. I mean, I think he's a really good pass rusher. He doesn't play every down, but when he's out there pinning his ears back, I think he's really damn good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's underestimated, I think, what offenses, how they structure their protections whenever he's in the game. Because that's something that we don't know and we don't really probably have or are privy to. But I think that whenever an offensive team goes into a football game and it's like, all right, when 51's on the field, we got to do this.
Yes.
And I think that helps and alleviates a lot of things for the other guys.
Yeah, we're going to slide some protection that way. You're circling TJ Watt, you're circling Cam Hayward, but this guy gets off the ball so
different.
Quick. Yeah.
It's so different that it's like, man, that guy can actually wreck a game, like low-key.
He's a legitimate situational pass rusher and a really good one at that. And I think Alex Highsmith's a good player. I think he's a more well-rounded player. But is well-rounded more impactful? I don't know.
As an offense, I'm willing to bet that people are more worried about Nick Herbig than Alex Highsmith.
Yes. 412-928-9370 is the phone number to call.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's only played in two games, but certainly he has the potential for splash. That has been a component of his game since day zero. You know, he's good in passing circumstances. He has a feel for the game. He's ball aware. I don't believe any of us are surprised by his ability to produce sack fumbles or come up with the football. He's done that since day zero that he got here.
He's not the biggest guy in the world. I mean, TJ and Alex are both much larger frame guys. What makes him successful?
You know, I think that's probably why we got him in round four. He doesn't necessarily look like an outside linebacker, but he has an outside linebacker's game and he plays like one. And I think that's why you're able to get people sometimes a little bit later in the draft and maybe their tape would indicate because they don't fit the quote unquote cookie cutter component of it. We've never had any reservations about his game, what he's capable of. His stature is his stature.
Mike Tomlin talking about the guy that we were just talking about, Nick Herbig. And you have said in the past that you're blocking Alex Highsmith all game. You're blocking Alex Highsmith all game, and then it's third down and 12, and all of a sudden a guy comes in who is quicker off the ball, who's got more an array of pass rush moves. Oh, yeah, and by the way, this is the thing you've talked about. It's tough to get your hands on that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Tomlin's kind of getting at there. Everybody else's loss for that guy slipping in the draft to Pittsburgh, and he didn't play game one. And they gave up 34 points. I'm not saying he's more valuable than T.J. Watt or Cam Hayward, but I think you've correctly identified. I think the Steelers are a little bit tougher to play against when Nick Herbig is out there rushing the passer.
It does give the Steelers defense to the ability of moving him around. Like, we always talk about moving T.J. around. Why is T.J. just stagnant in one spot? Why are these guys not blitzing enough? But, like, with Herbig, he is that versatile kind of hybrid player where, like, you may see him at the off-ball linebacker spot. Like, that's what I would do with him. Like, if he's in the game, like, yeah, he's a situational pass rusher, but I'd also put him in the game and be like, yo, like, move around.
Yeah.
Move around. You know, blitz from the off-ball linebacker spot. Blitz from even, you know, outside or off the edge or inside in the C-gap or wherever. Like, and then you have to account for him and figure out who is blocking who, and that just makes it even tougher.
51's a mic!
Exactly. Is he the mic, and then are we going to turn somebody else free? Like, what are we going to do? So he does present such a, you know, unique matchup for an offensive line or an offense to go against, and he does bring that you know, element of splash to the table that every time he's in, I feel like the defense does make a big play, or he makes a big play.
And he may have made the play of the game on Sunday,
right,
against the New England Patriots. I mean, there's a lot of big plays in that game, and whenever you're turning one over from the 2-yard line and whenever you're throwing an interception from the 5-yard line and in, those are massive plays. But at the end of the game when you needed a play, Nick Herbig was there.
How many times has he done that in his career here?
A lot. I mean, 2 years ago they play Seattle,
yeah,
and Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback, and you win that football game. And Nick Herbig made the play of the game.
Didn't he make a play against the Ravens at home last year, too?
Yes.
Big play.
He's got a knack for that, mm-hmm, man. And look, this probably isn't the time to have this conversation, but you've got Jack Sawyer. You're going to see how he develops. But Alex Highsmith is oft injured. Like, at the end of the year, I mean, they spend so much money on the defensive side, and he's a highly paid player. Like, as I'm thinking about how I'm designing this roster moving forward and your rookie quarterback and all that, I am considering probably moving off of Alex Highsmith.
Well, then you have to turn around and pay Herbig because he's going to be up soon, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to be like Alex Highsmith numbers. It's going to be situational pass rush numbers, so it's less, maybe.
Maybe.
Unless he this year he just explodes even more.
I mean, that's a guy that you want to lock up either way, I would think.
Absolutely.
Nick Herbig.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is his third year in the league, so he'll have one more after this one. So you don't. But that would be the time, I guess,
right,
you'd pay him. That would be the time you'd pay him. Yeah, I think he's a really valuable piece. And when we talk about all this money that they spend on the defensive side and they talk about the historic defense, like, one of the reasons I don't love the injury excuses is because you've got quality depth players like a Nick Herbig, and arguably he's better than the guy that he's replacing, which is massive. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. A lot of people have texted in about Jackson Dart now playing instead of Russell Wilson and how that would affect the Steelers' comp pick. And there's people out there talking like Steelers Depot, they're really good with this stuff like this. I'm not going to pretend like I fully understand it. They said could go from a third round to a fifth round compensation pick. I think that's valid and something to think about. Like people celebrating, oh, Russell Wilson. Oh, I can't wait to watch Jackson Dart. From an entertainment standpoint, I do think like Chargers Giants becomes all the more interesting when you've got Jackson Dart. I think the big angle here, though, that really affects the Steelers more isn't that the comp pick could go from a third to a fifth. It's that if Jackson Dart's the answer in New York, maybe that coaching staff holds on to their jobs and they're not going to draft a quarterback this year. If this guy plays and sucks and Dable gets fired and the GM gets fired, they could draft a quarterback next year. Now, we talked about this quarterback class yesterday and how it might not be all it was cracked up to be, certainly to this point. And then John Mateer, the guy we talked about liking,
right. He's
going to be out for a chunk of time now. Right. He broke his hand. But, yeah, this comp pick thing's a big deal. Like, I'd rather have a third-round pick than a fifth-round pick. I'd also rather the Giants not draft a quarterback in the first round next year.
What did Najee fetch?
I'd have to look.
Because you're going to – I mean, that one too, right?
Same deal, yeah.
Same deal.
That one didn't worry me as much because when they got – Amarian Hampton, I figured, I mean, he's not probably going to accrue enough carries to get you the best possible compensation pick. But now with him out, he certainly won't.
I think regardless, they're not going to draft a quarterback in New York, the Giants.
They probably wouldn't because, like, do you really want to give up on a quarterback after 1 year whenever he doesn't even start the entire season?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right, with the coaching staff that's probably not going to be here.
We have seen it before. It's not a common thing. Like, Josh Rosen, like, they took him and then they're like, and they flipped him for a third-round pick and they got Kyler Murray. I'm just trying to cover all my bases when it comes to the quarterback, though. Like, I want Rattler or Shook to play really well in New Orleans. It wouldn't suck if Dylan Gabriel came in and made the Browns go, oh, hey, maybe this guy can be the guy. Like, I do think that the Giants are probably not going to take one, but I do think they could if he goes down in flames. I also think they're doing a stupid thing. I get it. They stink. Their defense, which I thought was actually going to be pretty good, has stunk, but I don't think that's a good situation at all for a rookie quarterback to walk into. And I'd put that thing off for as long as I possibly could. But again, Dable's trying to save his job.
He is. But what situation's really good for a rookie quarterback? Like, no situation's really good, you know, for a first-round quarterback.
J.J. McCarthy would have walked into a good one last year.
Yeah, he would have walked into a good one, I guess.
More often than not, the high-pedigree guys, they walk into terrible situations.
But don't you want, if I'm Dable, like, I'm interested to see, like, Malik Nabers has been, you know, he hasn't had the targets that he is warranted. I want to see how they work together because that could be the future and that could save my job. Like, I want Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart has a number one wide receiver to throw to.
Yeah, he does.
He has a young running back that was drafted in the same class now. Like, you kind of want to see that nucleus together and might as well do it now. Because Russell Wilson, did you see that last drive?
Oh, my God. Dude, he's throwing the ball away on fourth down.
What are you doing? What are you doing? And then they bring in Jackson Dart for, like, specialty plays, for, like, read option plays. And then they bring him in. They don't run the read option. And they take him out, and then they run the read option with Russ.
Yes.
I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have fired Dable before the year. Were I them? I mean, that's just a train wreck. I mean, your point is well taken. If I'm Dable and I have the job now, I'm going.
Or it might be coming from up top.
It could also be. But if I'm Dable, I would have gone with Dart from a job saving standpoint, from a developing the young guy standpoint. Like if I'm thinking about the guy and not my own rear end, I'm not playing him. You got the Chargers, then you got the Saints. Okay, fine. But then it's Eagles, Broncos, Eagles. Oh my God. You play the Eagles twice in 3 weeks, and between them, the team that led the league in sacking the quarterback last year and the Broncos on the road at Mile High?
Yeah, but what if he wins?
Well, then everyone's safe and things are great.
Right. That's the chance you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, would be the perfect time, in my opinion. It's like, oh, he goes and he splits with the Eagles and he beats the Eagles. that'll save your job.
Well, I would have. Now I'm like really splitting hairs. And it is a home game against the Giants. And it's not easy to play in New Orleans, no matter how good or bad they are. But I would have waited this week. They play the Chargers. I'd have played them against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a, well, that's a bad football team.
Yep. Yeah. Real bad.
412-928-9370. Just to keep the Russ conversation going a little bit. Last year coming into the season, I thought one of the things that would allow Russell Wilson to play quarterback at a higher level than we had seen around here since Ben retired was the fact that he's a veteran who's won a championship, that there's nothing he was going to see defensively that he hasn't seen before. You're seeing a massive difference between the understanding of the game of football between Rodgers and Russ. And that's not to say Russ isn't tremendous at it, but Rodgers is. And you see it at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Like he throws up the hand signal, all of a sudden, bang, I'm hitting Calvin Austin the third for a touchdown, and Russell Wilson's throwing balls away on fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
Like both smart guys, I think they're in a completely different class.
Absolutely.
When it comes to the football acumen.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Changing plays. And I think, you know, we put a lot of that, and I know I put a lot of that. I'll speak for myself. I put a lot of that last year on Arthur Smith, Mike Tomlin. Oh, we don't want this guy to change plays. What if he's just not good at it? Compared to the level that Aaron Rodgers is. Because Rodgers seems to have all the freedom that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons why PFF sucks, or at least does when it comes to quarterbacks, is all that stuff doesn't get factored in.
Right.
Doesn't get evaluated. And I think he's elite at that. I think we're seeing that in real time. Rodgers' brain, not just his arm, being a massive weapon.
I think what Rodgers does better than Russell Wilson is elevate the guys around him to understand the rhyme or reason why he's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But he's explaining it and making it, you know, he's a teacher. Russ is a professor, just kind of like, hey, I'm getting a paycheck. You know, he knows, but he's not really interested in probably teaching why that we're doing this. Russ knows exactly what to do, but I don't think that he's bringing everybody else into the fold to understand why we are checking at the line, why we are going this way, why we're doing that. Rodgers is explaining every single thing and every experience that he's had. He's bringing it to the table like, this is what I've seen in the past. This is why we're doing this. This is going to be open.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think that's well said. And I look at things like when he and Freiermuth on the scramble drill weren't on the same page, and he's out there, he's screaming at him. People might look at that as a negative. Oh, you can't throw your receiver under the bus. He's coaching on the field.
Only reason why he's doing that because it's probably something that they've went over.
Yes.
They've done it.
People don't know this because you're not at practice all the time and you're not, you know, you go to training camp. I mean, when I used to cover the Steelers and be there every day and be at training camp every day, Ben was hard as hell on guys, man.
Yeah. Every quarterback is. Every
yes.
single top level quarterback is. Every single one.
And I think Russ is more the kill him with kindness kind of deal. And hey, that can work. And Russ had a great career, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But I think Rodgers expects a level of perfection that Russell Wilson simply doesn't or didn't hear. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll go around the NFL coming up next. Doug Whaley is going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Texter writes in, this will speak to your point, Doran. Most forced fumbles in the NFL since December 31st, 2023. TJ Watt, 7. Nick Herbig, 6.
Mm.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Top two guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Steelers do a good job coaching that, too. I do. And I've said for a long time that I feel like the Steelers do as good a job as any coaching staff in the NFL at getting their defensive linemen to get their paws up. And we've seen that in each of the last 2 weeks. Cam Hayward has deflected a ball, and he's elite at it.
Oh, my gosh.
He's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron
J.J.
Donald,
Watt
J.J.
Was, oh. J.J. Watt was unbelievable doing that.
You know what? I stand immediately corrected. I think J.J. Watt was probably the best to ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
At least that I've laid my two right. eyes on. You know, I can't speak to some people who played back in the
mean
day.
Mean Joe Green can't speak
Mean
to
Joe's them. Probably getting some hands up.
I would assume so.
Probably
yes.
getting his mitts on the football.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Cam Hayward these last 2 weeks has been really good. It's time to go around the NFL. Woo, woo, woo! Are you guys wondering why I did that?
What? Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
No, we weren't, I don't think.
Because you're goofy as hell?
Yep.
I don't know where that came from. Do you guys know who leads the league in touchdown passes?
Daniel Jones.
That's a great guess.
Is it him?
No.
That is a great.
But I love the guess.
That is a great guess,
I love
Cal.
The guess. He's only thrown three, actually. He's like way down the list. But
that's still a great
that's
guess.
That's a great guess.
I'm back on the Callis train. Look at that. Just wow. Because of that comment.
I'm paying attention.
Psych.
The Colts are good. The offense is great. They've only punted like one time in three games. It must be Daniel Jones. I love that guess from here. That's a ball knower guess. He's got a losing record.
Ooh, man.
We talked about him a lot.
Lamar Jackson?
Harry!
Really?
What happened?
What do you mean?
Who are you?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yay.
Doug Whaley going to join us in 6 minutes. Do you guys happen to know who's tied for second?
Russell Wilson.
Now that's just a terrible
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is correct. Tied with Jared Goff, Caleb Williams. Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert round out the top five with six apiece. Aaron Rodgers has operated from a clean pocket very rarely, but he's fifth in the NFL in efficiency from a clean pocket. Do you think he can keep up the touchdowns all season?
Yes.
I do too.
Yep. Because of red zone.
Yes.
And, you know, things happen faster in the red zone. It's condensed in the red zone. And he gets the ball out at a fast rate. So, and you have the bodies to do it. And I think that he understands red zone offense better than anybody. And they've been, you know, in the top tier of efficiency in the red zone. So, yes, I don't think that goes away.
Nor do I. The Steelers are second in the NFL in red zone efficiency behind the Philadelphia Eagles, who are clicking, oh, it's just 100%.
Because of it.
The damn tush push! What team, I had in my head, what team this weekend ran the tush push and they called a flag? Was it Miami? I got to look it up. There's a team that tried to run the tush push this weekend. They got called for a false start, and all hell broke loose on social media.
We tried to in our youth football game.
How'd that go?
False start.
Damn.
Would have worked, too.
Is your son playing quarterback?
Nope. Running back.
Was he pushing the tush?
Yes, he was behind.
How'd he do with the push?
Good.
Nice.
They got it. Yeah, but it was false start by the receiver.
Those damn receivers.
I know. Line up. Get lined up.
Watch the ball!
Get lined up.
Come on!
Christian.
I don't think his religion has anything to do with this.
No, that's the receiver's name, Christian. Little Christian, he's a great player.
It's a learning experience. Miami is 83% at touchdowns in the red zone. They suck. Washington at 75%. The Jets got to dine on that Steelers defense week one. They round out the top five. If Pittsburgh, like, here's the thing. Can you just move the ball a little bit better? Just move the ball a little bit better, because if you do, you get in the red zone more. That's going to lead to more touchdowns. Math.
There you go.
All right. Doug Whaley is going to join us next.
Doug Whaley was out there practicing. Look at him. Look at him.
He's practicing golf. He is. He's doing the thing where he's got his arms crossed. I feel like kids, they do the thing where they'll be alone and they're just like walking around your house and you're shooting three-pointers and stuff and like dribbling.
Uh-huh.
And then the older you get, you're alone and you start messing around with the golf. He's out there doing fake golf swings, Harry. My God. All right. Doug Whaley for the next hour coming up when we return. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, it's a high of 71, low of 63, 80% chance of rain.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.